This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If there's sin and you claim to be without sin, you deceive yourself and the truth is not in you. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You can become whiter than snow. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive our sins and never mention them again and purify us from all unrighteousness. Made us pure as Jesus himself. The grounds of forgiveness are solid based on the blood that was shed. The blood of the new covenant washes whiter than snow, blots out, leaving no trace. The blood of the new covenant blots out, leaving no trace of sin whatsoever. And then fellowship with God is reestablished. Hallelujah. Now tear the paper to bits. If someone has a container, some bag, so the torn pieces are put there. What song is available for all of us to sing on the forgiveness of God? What is the song?
Just as I am.
just as I am.
Just as I am.
Without one plea.
Without one plea.
But that thy blood was shed for me.
That thy blood was shed.
And that thou bidst me come to thee.
And that thou bidst me come.
O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Just as I am.
Just as I am,
and waiting not,
and waiting not
to rid my soul of one dark blood,
my soul of one dark blood,
to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot,
whose blood can cleanse each spot.
O Lamb of God, I come.
Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Just as I am.
Just as I am,
though tossed about, with many a conflict,
many a doubt,
fightings within and fears
without.
O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive.
Just as I am.
Welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief.
Welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief.
Because thy promise I believe.
Because thy promise I believe.
O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Of God, I come, I come.
Just as I am, thy love unknown.
Just as I am, thy love unknown.
Hath broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yes, thine alone.
Thine and thine alone.
O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
I come.
Just as I am of that free love.
Just as I am of that free love.
The breadth, length, depth, the height to prove. For a season then above.
A season then above.
O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
O God, I come, I
We are not just given the blood of Jesus Christ so that we'll go and sin, come and be cleansed, and then go and sin, come and be cleansed. There is a sanctified life. The life of freedom from sin. In true conversion, the Lord does not just cover our sins. Look at Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36:25-26-27. Could someone read Ezekiel 36:25-26-27? Ezekiel 25:26-27.
36:25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws.
We have often presented what man does . The new birth is not just what man does. In fact, the new birth is more what God does. It's a work of God. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. The sinner who turns his back to all his sin, to all his idols, God does one thing. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all the idols. The blood of Christ cleanses totally. If the Lord just came to cover sins. No. He comes to cleanse from all impurities and from all idols. To do a very deep work. To cleanse from all sins, from all the impurities and from all idols. That's what God does in sanctification. There he says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. The heart of stone that is twisted towards sin, that loves sin. The heart of stone is removed. I will take out of you the heart of stone. I will take out of you the heart of stone. I will take out of you the heart of stone. God takes out of you the heart of stone. The heart of stone is removed. I will take out the heart of stone. That is twisted towards sin. That desires sin. The heart of stone is removed. He takes out the heart of stone. He does not only take out a standard heart of stone. He puts a heart of flesh. It is not a modification. It is a transformation. Listen, brethren. The heart of stone is removed. That heart that loves dirt is removed. That heart that loves what the devil loves is removed. That heart that loves fornication. That heart that loves adultery that has that love's greed is removed. It is not what God does is not to change the place of immorality. So that if, instead of going to sleep with people in act, you now sleep with them in thought. That would be no change, isn't it? Because God looks at the heart. He said, I've stopped committing sin in act, but I've committed in thought. What has changed? Riena Sanje, Riena Sanje, Riena Sanje. Nothing has changed. Because even the unbeliever can discipline himself. But we're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. God takes out the heart of stone. God takes out the heart of stone. So that sin is not committed, neither in deed, nor in thought, nor in word. I will take out the heart of stone. 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 God takes out the heart of stone. And he puts a heart of flesh. God puts a new heart. A heart of flesh. That loves holiness. That desires holiness. That longs for holiness. That yearns for holiness. A new heart from which holiness flows. There's a heart transplant. The heart of stone is removed. And a new heart, a heart of flesh is put in. And then a new spirit is given. To prepare someone for the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in. The heart of stone, the heart of stone is removed. The heart of flesh is given. Then a new spirit is given. And with a new spirit, the Holy Spirit comes now to dwell in the new spirit. So that the believer becomes the habitation of God. So that the Holy Spirit comes and becomes the reigning monarch. And then there's now power to follow God's decrees and to keep his laws. Obedience becomes second nature because it is the overflow. Of the new heart. In the power of the Holy Spirit. Brethren, this is what happens in the new birth. This is what God does. When people come forward and just make decisions, that's the work of man. But there is the work of God. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. God will move you to follow his decrees and be careful to keep his laws. This is the Holy Spirit. That's what happens. A new heart is given. A heart of flesh. A heart of stone is removed. So that the new creation in the has new thoughts, new desires, new motives, a new look, new tastes, new values, new attitudes, new dispositions, new words, new deeds, flowing from inside. Flowing from inside. If you take a pig and wash it and dress it and leave it, when you are not looking, it will run back to the mud. But if you were to take the pig, remove the heart of the pig and put the heart of a cat, you are finished with mud. The cat will not go into mud. So God does not come to modify. God comes to transform. He produces a creature that hates sin with all of his heart. That hates sin with all of his heart. What changed when you believed? Did anything change? Then fear to call it believing. God does something, God does something, God does something, God does something. God does many things. He cleanses from all sin. He takes away the idols. He takes away the heart of stone. He puts a heart of flesh. He puts a new spirit and puts a Holy Spirit. And the person is moved to love and obey God from inside. Did that take place when you believe? Could someone pray that light would dawn on the saints along these lines?
Blessed Holy Spirit, I bless you for the light that is already dawning in my heart about what you did and your total contribution to my total departure from sin at conversion, Lord God. You put in everything. You did the whole packet so that I never go back to sin. You did everything so that we never go back to sin. Oh God, forbid, oh God, that we miss this truth. Oh God, that it's not a gradual thing of struggling day after day to hate sin, because you do it that day. You make us to hate sin. You put in us a heart that hates sin. Oh Lord, we pray that your light will break through the deception that we have built in our hearts, oh God. And that we will receive it, oh God. That your light will shake the false foundations that we have built in through the years. And that we'll receive this new light, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.
In true conversion, God's nature is given to us. Peter says, 2 Peter chapter 1, through this he has given us very great precious promises, so that through them we may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desire. In true conversion, the nature of God is given to us. We become participants. We share God's nature. God comes to dwell in us, giving us his very nature. You and God share his nature. In the new creation, God gives the believer his nature. That nature that hates sin violently, totally, irrevocably. That's why I said born again, born from above. The impartation of the divine nature. It is the impartation of divine life. The life of God is given to the believer. At the new birth, the life of God is given. It's along those lines that John could write in 1 John chapter 2. My dear children, I write to you so that you will not sin. To babes in Christ, saying, you will not sin. Why? Because God's nature dwells in them. Because the heart of stone has been removed. Because of a heart of flesh has been given. Because a new spirit has been given to them. And the new spirit, the Holy Spirit, has come to dwell. So that there is a hatred of sin from inside. If you look at the life of the average Christian. The unbeliever will say, no, I don't want to become a believer. Listen, Brian, we're not joking. Look at what you think. Should someone become a Christian in order to think like you? The problem is that from the word go, people were told to come and receive Christ before they are turned away from sin. If the rich young ruler was told to believe, he loved the world, he loved the things of the world, they said, take Jesus and add to that love. You produce a very confused man. Somebody, a big man in Yaoundé, he came to my office 3 times. He wanted to believe in the Lord. When he was coming for the 4th time, the Lord told me, when he comes, give him your budget. When he came, since I arrived my budget on cards, I told him, I said, let me show you how I spend my money. I gave him the card of, I gave him 6 cards of my budget, January, February, March. I gave him. And as I'm coming, I went out so he will see what will happen to his money if he believes. When I came back, he said, oh, please, sir, I have to go somewhere. I have to go. I'll come back. He has not been back. It's about 20 years now. The Holy Spirit wanted me to avoid a counterfeit conversion. Because when someone is ready for true conversion, he is prepared to be converted at all costs. When someone is ready to be, the thing is that many of us will produce so many stillbirths. Someone is not ready. We say, oh, just believe now. And we cause abortions. We do not present people what it will cost. Jesus presented to the rich young ruler what it will cost. So that the man counted the cost. We seem to fool people, thinking that the more decisions they are, the better for us. If a person is not prepared to abandon all his sin forever, he's not ready. If a man is not prepared to follow Jesus Christ at all costs, he's not ready. Listen, if that is the heart of man, and the person has one sin there, one sin left, and he does not abandon that sin, Jesus cannot come in. This is not possible. Listen, brethren. Sin is a knife into the heart of God. Genesis chapter 6. Sin is a knife into the heart of God. Genesis 6:5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on earth, and his heart was filled with pain. The heart of God was filled with pain. Oh, the heart of God was filled with pain. 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 The slightest sin causes pain in God's heart. The slightest sin causes pain in God's heart. And God's heart was filled with pain. And God's heart was filled with pain. And God's heart was filled with pain. I want to say, in true conversion, a person sees what his sin has done to the heart of God. In counterfeit conversion, a man sees what his sin has done to him. Say, I've lost this, I've lost this. If I sin, I will lose this. But in true confession, the Holy Spirit opens a man's eyes to see what his sin does to the heart of God. But that is the difference. In true confession, a man sees what his sin has done to God, what his sin is doing to God. In true confession, a person sees God as the greatest sufferer for all sin. In true conversion, a person hates sin for what it is doing to the heart of God. And he hates future sin for what it will do to the heart of God. In true conversion, the person sees, oh, the interests of God at stake. Sin is a knife into God's heart. Until the Holy Spirit opens a man's eyes to see that sin is a knife into God's heart. Sin is war against God. Sin is an attempt to eliminate God. When a man sees, when the Holy Spirit opens a man's eyes to see that sin, it's a knife into God's heart. It's an attempt to destroy God, to destroy God, to destroy God, to destroy God's will, to destroy God's purposes, to destroy God's plans. Then he will repent of what he has been doing against God. That's why he will turn away from sin radically, totally, permanently, because of what the sin does to God. That's why, even if it's only sin in thought, and he said every imagination of his thoughts was only evil all the time, and God's heart was filled with pain. The imagination of the thoughts, that's what caused God pain. And God decided that he will eliminate man in order to stop the pain that man was causing to God's heart. In the flood, God decided to eliminate man to spare himself the pain that was being caused to his heart. Until there's a revelation of what sin does to God, there can be no true conversion. Because it is, true conversion is a miracle, isn't it? True conversion is not in the natural. The new birth is from above. So the Holy Spirit shows man what his sin does to the heart of God. And then man hates sin. Totally, violently, at all costs. All sin targets the heart of God. God is the greatest sufferer for all sin. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I've created from the face of the earth, men and animals, creatures that move on the ground and the birds of the air. For I am grieved that I have made man. Why are you knifing God's heart? Why are you knifing God's heart? That's what sin is about. It's about knifing God's heart. It's a dreadful thing. Oh, it's horrible. That's why there's not a small sin, a small knife put into God's heart. If someone says, well, I will not put a big knife into your heart, I will just be putting a small knife. Or I will just have a long pin. Every sin in desire, in thought, in motive, in look, in touch, in attitude, in test, in value, in the disposition of heart, is horrible beyond telling. Even though nobody may catch you, there's no way to catch. But God has caught you because you have pierced his heart. With that wicked look, you have pierced his heart. With that jealous look, you have pierced his heart.
In true sanctification, the Holy Spirit reveals to man what his sin does to the heart of God. Then he hates sin forever. People may escape hell by being shown what sin does to them. So they want to escape hell. In sanctification, what sin does to the heart of God is revealed. And the person hates sin forever. And would not have anything to do with it because of God. We are too much in a hurry to tell people to believe before we have told them what to believe. And in a country where people have services that they are so short, you tell people to come forward. They don't even know what they are coming forward for. If a person is not shown, you see, Brennan, there are two types of sinners. There's the unawakened sinner. You tell him that he has sinned, he should receive Jesus Christ in order to escape hell. He comes forward. You say, confess your sin. La, 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 la. Then you give him Protestant ablution. Now he's a Protestant priest who absorbs him. Has anything changed? Nothing. He leaves the church, takes his girlfriend, and continues to live as of old. Stop fooling human beings. The sinner is unawakened. The unawakened sinner must be moved by the Holy Spirit into an awakened sinner. An awakened sinner is a sinner who has seen the Father, he's lost. An awakened sinner is a sinner who has received the ministration of the word and sees the fact that he's lost. And wants to get out of the lost condition. On the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter started with unawakened sinners. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. That's an awakened sinner. Cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the others, brothers, what shall we do? That's an awakened sinner. An awakened sinner. An awakened sinner. an awakened sinner. Cut to the heart, 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 cut to the heart. He asked, what shall we do? He's cut to the heart and asked, brethren, what must we do? The evangelist is to show the sinner his lost condition. The evangelist to show the sinner his lost condition, the judgment of God. And the fact that very soon he'll be in the lake of fire, and the lake of fire forever. Verse 40. With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Listen, friend. In the ministry of preaching the gospel, the proud sinner is knocked down. He's knocked down to see the degradation of his heart, to see his horrible condition. And then he cries for mercy. And then he's the message that lifts, because Christ came to lift fallen people, is then presented to him. But if he's not, if he's still proud, walking in self-righteousness, and you tell him to receive Christ, you will receive Christ to do you a favor. You can say, oh, this wonderful life, come and take it. No, 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 that is not it, that's not it. Men, brethren, what must we do? Stir to the heart, stir to the heart, stir to the heart, stir to the heart, troubled beyond measure, troubled beyond measure, troubled beyond measure. He sees his sin. He sees the consequence of his sin. He sees the impending judgment of God. And he says, what is the way out? I want a way out. Then you present the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But if you present a solution before a man has seen the problem, if you present a solution before a person even wants a solution, that's what we call evangelism. That's why there are so many stillbirths, countless decisions with few conversions. You see how Peter is attacking them in John chapter 3. Verse 13, the second part. You handed him to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate. Verse 14, you disowned the holy and righteous one. Verse 4, verse 14. You asked that a murderer be released to you. Hey, he abuses them. You killed the author of life. You, there was an accusation. He was putting an accusation. He was bringing the charge against them. He did not palliate their sin. He made them to face it. You. One thing that troubles me as I travel in the ministry is that in the past, there were evangelistic songs that pointed the sinner. They used to sing and point like that. There was somebody who said that there was one brother, when his finger points at you, you see, it's as if you are exposed. The devil has come. Now, why do we have an evangelistic meeting? Songs of praise. Songs of praise. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. So sinners, are sinners saved by praise? They now lift hands and dance. And expect sinners to be saved. It's a seduction. The devil has just come and changed things slowly. You slew him! You slew him, then I say, oh, let us see Sulu through the yeah. And then we expect sinners to come. Before then, sin was mentioned by name, one after another, and people were glued to their chairs. One big man in Cameroon, I went to see him in office, a very big man. He told me, I've sat under your messages 3 times, and it has been the three most painful experiences of my life. You picked me from head to toe. Another one, he told Sister Monica, Dr. Fomun preached a message 9 months ago. I still have stomach ache from that message till today. Listen, Brian. When a man is on his high horse, he cannot be saved. He must be knocked down. He must cry for mercy. What must I do? What is the way out? I am lost. It is then that you go with the Lord Jesus Christ to pick him up. To show him the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. If you see a doctor running after a patient with a syringe, the patient say, let me choke you. Doctor, is that what people do? You wonder what you wonder what they're going to put in. It's the patient who runs after the doctor. In the period of my life in Uganda, when I was an evangelist, I used to go to the streets 2-3 times a week. One day I went. I saw somebody. I said, I want to tell you about Jesus. He said, no. He asked me, are you saved? I said, I'm very saved. He said, I don't listen to saved people. I told him, you will listen to this one. He started to run away, joke like that. I began to joke after him. I was joking after him. I knew he would be tired. When he was tired, he started to walk. Then I started to preach at the top of my voice. I preach about God's judgment. I preach about God's love. I preach about heaven. I preach about hell. I was preaching. Then God touched his heart. He stood. He said, tell me some more. I gave him a paper with my address and I ran away. When he told me, tell me some more, I gave him a paper with my room number at the university and I ran away. The next day, he took 2 hours to find my room. And in my room, I led him to a savior. He had to hunger. He had to desire the salvation of God. the gospel must be preached to let the sinner see how lost he is, how evil his heart. What he has done against God must be shown very clearly. And we are preaching and pleading that God would awaken him to see his lost condition, to desire the salvation of God. So, the unawakened sinner must be transformed to the awakened sinner, and the awakened sinner must be shown the way of salvation. So that he will know. Then he will know he is grateful that the love of Christ found him, washed him, changed him.